Looks like it's light in your, there's hope it's going to be light in your neck of the woods today.
Yes, it looks like it. Anyway, how is the weather there?
Well, it's actually not bad, actually, for this time of year. No snow.
We got a little bit of snow, a little bit of ice, but it's supposed to warm up, so hopefully I don't have to scrape the driveway.
Well, that's my favorite type of snow is when it turns to rain.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, good point.
So,
like everybody's starting to arrive here?
Well, looking forward to the call today, John.
Well, that's good. Sound financial plan for your future. I think what we want to start at is this is the time of year we set our goals for next year. That's, first of all, discuss that, and then we're going to start discuss a little bit of sound financial planning for our future.
Well, that'd be great. I see Jack on this morning. How you doing, Jack?
I mean, I'm still on my nose, is a little stuck up. My voice is back and everything there, so I'm feeling a lot better than I was a couple days ago.
Wow. You're making a great recovery, and you sound a lot better today, actually. But my mic's not working that good, so I don't know.
I could laugh without worrying about how I'm doing okay.
Yeah, my son just had COVID, and he was down for, I would say, about 5 days. It took him to that he was back to work. He started feeling good. But, you know, you young and strong guys, you can bounce back really quick.
Yeah, I'll accept it. I mean, it started really kind of end of day Saturday is when it really started bothering me more. So, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and feeling better today. So, if it's okay with you, Greg, I might chicken and breakfast tomorrow. I'll leave it up to you, though.
What was that? Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, we'll talk later.
Yeah.
Not a problem. All right. John, it looks like we better get the show on the road here.
All right. Sounds like a plan. All right. Our topic today is sound financial plan. And with Landmark. Because, planning for your future is all about sound financial planning. So I guess the first place to start is, and this is right now, we finished our last quarter of financial quarter for 2023. So really it's time to start setting goals for the next year, 2024. But and when we talk about setting goals, we talk about short-term goals. And short-term goals are usually goals that you're going to achieve in within 3 months. And then we talk about the intermediate goals. Intermediate goals are usually goals that are achieved from 3 months to 1 year. And long-term goals are those goals that take you more than a year to realize it, and up to 5 years. So setting your short-term, intermediate, long-term goals are really essential in terms of planning your future. So you have to ask yourself, what are your goals? Great goals create great people. And as Zig Ziglar always said, the most important thing about a goal is having one. And the top successful people in everywhere take the time to write down their goals. And if you don't take the time to write down your goals, you're like a ship with no rudder. We all have goals, but if you don't take the time to write down those goals, you really don't have any, you're not serious about your future. You're not serious about where you're going. And again, as I said before, there's no rudder to your ship. So let's just go, let's talk about goals for a minute. And one of them, and Jerry had mentioned this on Monday, the best way to start goals, set goals, is to use the SMART goal acronym. It's called SMART goals. And the S stands for specific. Your goals must be specific. You must define the goal as much as possible with no unclear language. Who is involved? What do I want to accomplish? Where will it be done? Why am I doing this? Reasons, purpose, which constraints and or requirements do I have? A goal, the M means goals must be measurable. Can you track the progress and measure the outcome? How much? How many? How will I know when my goal is accomplished? So you have to be able to measure that goal. And a goal has to be attainable, reachable. Is the goal reasonable enough to be accomplished? How so? Make sure the goal is not out of reach or below standard performance. So that's what the A stands for, attainable. The R stands for relevant. Your goal must be relevant. Is the goal worthwhile and will it meet your needs? Is each goal consistent with the other goals you have? The other goals you have established, and it fits with your immediate and long-term plans. And also, goals must be timely. That's what the T stands for. Your objective should include a time limit. Example, will I complete this step by month, day, year? It will establish a sense of urgency and prompt you to have better time management. So when you take the time to set your goals, and when we talk about goals for Langla, we have the P Club, rings and diamonds, quarterly renewal bonus. You know, that 30% renewal bonus, I mean, not 30%, 5% renewal bonus on your renewals over and above your 5% every quarter, that means the renewals double. You know, they double if you're guaranteed 5%, you did, you know. But when you get that 5% bonus on your renewals become 10%. And that means if you did $150,000 a year in business, 10% of renewals are 100%. Are $15,000, and you compound that over a period of years, it doesn't take very many years that you've achieved that significant renewals. And of course, for new agents, there's the milestones, there's the 4-week weekly bonus, there's a lot of incentives to get out there and do the proper number of presentations. And when you plan your goals, everything breaks down. What I used to do is I would plan my yearly goals, what I was going to get done. And my goals, in terms of business goals, my goals were based on what I plan to earn in a year. P Club, rings and diamonds, quarterly bonus. That was all part of my goals. But I broke those goals down, because we talk about short-term, intermediate, long-term goals. But I broke those goals down into monthly goals, into weekly goals, into daily goals. And the way I kept track, of course, and we talked about this numerous times, is by using the tools the company provides, which is the goal book and the success card. Because that's one way to monitor where you are, where you're going, and to keep good records to know where, you know, that you've achieved your goals, and also that where you have to go. Because you know short-term, intermediate, long-term goals, and if you keep good records, you know exactly where you are in terms of achieving your goals. And there's other goals like saving for a house, saving for a car. You may want to pay off your credit cards. But one of the best goals you can have, I worked with a guy named Jim Greshner for many years when I started with the company. And Jim Greshner he worked hard. He wasn't a superstar by any means. But one thing Jim Greshner did was he saved 10% of his income every month. 10%. He put, no matter how much he made, he put 10% in an account. And, you know, and that account, he put that account into an RRSP. Because the importance of having, when we start planning for anything, we have to plan for the future. And planning for the future means also planning for retirement. So he took his 10% that he saved every month, and he put it into an RRSP, a registered retirement savings plan. And he locked that money in. But a registered retirement savings plan is actually a good savings vehicle and should be part of your goals, because the way a registered retirement savings plan works is, one, is it defers your taxes. So it defers your taxes, whatever amount you save. Say you save $5,000. Well, that's $5,000 that's deducted off your income this year that you're not paying taxes on. And it goes into your RSP, and it grows tax-free until you're over 65. And then you can take that money out and at a lower tax rate, because when you retire, you should, you know, most people are in a lower tax rate. So what it does is that the magic of compound interest over from when you start that RSP, when you start saving that 10% every month, well, it grows and grows and grows, and it becomes part of your retirement plan. And another one is, I was talking about this with Joel, tax-free savings account. And again, it's money that you put away. You don't, you can put it into a tax-free savings account. You're not paying taxes on that money. And that money grows tax-free, any interest that you make. For the lifetime of that TF, tax-free savings account, when you take that money out, it's tax-free. So it's another way of saving. So it's part of goals. Part of setting goals is also planning for your future. And planning for the future is so important to business. So, Jack, I know you're not feeling great, but I'd like you to just expand a little bit on what we're talking about in terms of SMART goals, what your goals are, and what you're doing to plan for your future.
That's a lot of things to talk about.
And I know you're feeling good, so I think you can handle it.
So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it when it comes to SMART goals. You already talked about specific. When you talk about specific, we often talk about tracking your numbers in the system. And if you think about the minimum you need to survive and pay your bills, reverse engineer it, right? Maybe you need 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 a month to make sure your bills are paid. Well, how much production do you need to do? How much premium do you need to write to gain that much in commission? How many presentations does it take to write that much premium? How many approaches does it take to get into that many presentations to write that much premium? If you can figure that out, then you can set the baseline for what it is you need to do on a consistent basis here to have enough coming in to make sure that the minimum payments are made. And then whatever you do beyond that is what you can look to save with or do the things that you want to do outside of the minimum requirements are. So if I know
that was just somebody's cell phone was turned on.
Oh, I thought someone was out, was going to cut me off. They had a point to make. But it's timely, so achieving something by the end of the year or by the end of the month is a way that you can break down what it is that you want to do. There's a lot here, so I'll go back. The biggest thing for me when I think about this is knowing that I'm developing residuals with every client that I attain, but knowing that I don't try to focus on paying my bills with my residuals. I need to do enough upfront production to make sure that I achieve the things that I want in my life, and then those residuals become so much more impactful. Because all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, and I try and average at least $4,000 a week in premium when I'm healthy. And then all of a sudden from that, I have enough income coming in. I can put money away to pay my taxes. I can pay my bills. And then as the residuals start to grow, all of a sudden the financial choices and levers that I can make is expanding at an exponential rate, because all of a sudden it's like, well, instead of I got an extra 200, then 400, then 1,000, then 2,000 a month that I can spend on things or contribute to things that are going to improve my future. So this is, I might have been a little convoluted there. I was thinking about all the different things you asked me to answer. And my brain is still a little foggy from the COVID. So I hope I answered your question, John. I'll throw it back to you.
Well, you did a great job answering my question. And then, you know, it just shows how on top of your business you are. You know, you're on top of your business. You know exactly how much a month that your expenses are. The fact that you want to pay your expenses with your income, not your residuals, that's such an important factor as well. And then from knowing where you are, what your expenses are, and then you set your goals in terms of what else you want to get done. What else you want to, whether you're planning on buying a house, whether you're buying a car, whether, you know, whatever your goals are to achieve. And of course, achieving the company goals and so on. That's part of your goals, the P Club, the rings and dimes, the quarterly bonus. But one of the most important goals for the people that want that is growing into leadership. Because we talk about, very often we talk about that most financial advisors will suggest that you have three streams of income, or at least three streams, but multiple streams of income. And that's the beauty of our business, is it builds multiple streams of income, but it also, when we put pressure on the system and do the proper number of presentations and set goals and break them down and then just focus on what we have to do on a daily basis, do the proper number of presentations, three by one and two in the afternoon, well, then everything else starts falling into place. And then what happens is when you take 10% of your income and you start putting it in, like you talked about, registered retirement savings plan or a tax-free savings account, well, you start building for your future as well. And of course, it's deferring those taxes. So if you're making good money and you're not paying taxes on that money, of course, it grows and it grows with the magic of compound interest. Nowadays, with inflation, of course, the interest rates are a lot higher. And if we can lock those interest rates in, then of course, our savings are going to grow exponentially. So part of sound financial planning for your future is right now. Setting your goals, writing them down, knowing exactly where you are, knowing what your budget is, and knowing, breaking it down to how many presentations you have to do per day, per week, per month, and that breaks down to how many approaches you need. And I'm a great proponent of just keeping good records. If you know your worth by how much you earn every approach, by keeping good records, you can break it down. Then you know how many approaches you need to make on a daily basis to meet your goals, to meet your savings goals, to meet your basic expenses, to meet achieving those other goals like housing. You know, everyone wants to buy. buy a house, but it's taking the time to break down, save that money, to put that money away in order to achieve that basic down payment. For young people, how do you buy a home? Well, I'm going to go to Mr. Bunch. Mr. Bunch, I would like you to just describe when you started with this company. This is a particularly important for new people. What you did in terms of putting money aside, in terms of, you know, how you planned your, what your goals were, how you put money aside, and how you budgeted yourself in order to achieve those goals. I mean, right now, Joel lives in a beautiful home, but it wasn't his first home because he used his first home, which he scripted and saved for and put his money away and didn't spend it foolishly, and got enough money for a down payment to get into a home, and then from that home he achieved enough equity to get into a bigger home, and now that home is worth over $1 million. So, Mr. Bunch, let's talk about how you made some sound financial planning for your future when you just started with this.
Well, let's just start with that. Yeah, it might be worth $1 million, but that's just the inflation part. I didn't pay that.
Depends on where you live.
Yeah, it might not be worth a lot elsewhere. It depends on where you are. But it's so easy to look at it. Like, I know we talk about how, hey, we have renewals that have been around for 14 years. And it's easy to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's easy. But part of our conversation, we were talking about going back to the very beginning. When we first started, you're the same as every single other person starting with the business. I didn't have a whole lot of money in my bank account. I had done some door-to-door advertising, and at the end of the day, one of the couple things I did was, one, I didn't go out and do a whole whack of partying and blowing in a lot of money. I didn't go out and buy a whole bunch of new cars. My first car cost me $20. My next car, I think it cost me $19,000 all said and done, that it was used, but paid that off over 3 years. And one of the couple of things that I did, though, is every single, early on, I started putting a $100 every single week into a TFSA, and it was $40 every single week. $100 and $40 things would go out. And that just always goes. And I never touched it. It just went into two different investments. They weren't huge investments. They didn't make a lot of money. But at the end of the day, even if it had just been a savings account, you don't realize how quickly that adds up, because you don't miss, you know, small little chunks here and there. And they really do start to add up, and before you know it, you have this nice big chunk of change. And if you don't put it away, it's not like it builds up in your savings account or in your checking account, because if it's in your checking account, mentally you're like, oh, I have something to spend, I can pay this, I can buy these items, I can, you know, buy a new TV, I've got the money. And one of the second best thing that I ever did was I had the someone that say, whatever you give to your church, like I tithe, I donate to my church every week, whatever you give to your church, take that same amount and put it in a separate savings account. And so every single week I have three things I do. One, I do my tithe. Two, I take that exact same percentage and transfer it to my checking account to a savings account. And then the last thing I do is then I pay off my credit cards. So, and John asked me to mention this yesterday, so he asked me to talk about this. My rule of thumb has always been, if I can't afford to pay off my credit card that same week, I don't put it on a credit card. I don't buy it. So I don't buy, you know, laptops, I don't buy, you know, extra items, I don't buy gifts, I don't buy things. If I'm not comfortable paying it off that same week, I don't put on the credit card, because one of the worst things you can do is start piling up interest. because then you pay money on interest, and you're paying the interest on the purchases. So in credit cards, can be 18%, 29%. You think 29% every 3 years, you're paying the same amount of your purchases, just in interest to TD or MasterCard. Just basically throwing money away. My rule of thumb is every single week I pay off my credit card. Another little nifty thing that I found, especially with this business, it's really hard to keep track of all your receipts efficiently. So what I did is I have two different credit cards. Actually, I have three, but basically two main credit cards I use. One credit card is for every single item I have personal. My other credit card is purely for work-related items. If I'm going to write it off 100% or if I'm going to write it off a portion, I'm putting it on that work credit card every single time. Now, I keep my receipts, but what it does is it gives me a really nifty, at the end of the year, I download the spreadsheet that the MasterCard gives me, and it has every single work item that I spent that year all labeled out. It's broken up into all my restaurants, it's broken up into store purchases, like if I had to go to Staples to buy pens or something like that, or calculator, you name it. I have every single work purchase I have my entire year all labeled out on that. And that, what that does is that frees me up quite a bit of time of having to go through every single receipt and add it up and tally it up and figure out which is which and which portion. I know exactly what's on every single work purchase I have because it's all labeled out. So those are just a few of the things that I did that really made a difference. Again, putting that couple small payments every single week away really, really added up. It becomes part of your life. You don't even recognize it. You deal with whatever that's left over, doing the tithe, and then putting that same percentage away every single week into a savings account. I still have access to that savings account if I need it. If something happens, I can still use that money. Paying off my credit cards every single week. And then the last but not least is having two work credit cards. Again, be very, very, very careful about credit cards. If you're good with credit cards, you're very efficient, and it doesn't make you spend extra money, okay, great. But the one thing I know, there's a lot of times people, it's so much easier to spend money if it's not your money. And sometimes for some people, the way you need to do it is you need to use cash. You need to say, okay, I am budgeting my spending money for this week at $100. Take $100, and then when you run out of that money, okay, you're done spending for the week. Maybe. I know that's something that I know quite a few people have used, and it's the way they have to do it, because if they put on a credit card, oh, well, you know, I can buy that. Oh, yeah, I can afford that. I've got room on my credit card. No. You need to know, do I have the cash to purchase this? Otherwise, you can go into debt. Awful, awful. So, hope that answered your questions there, John. And if there's anything else, just ask away.
Well, you know, the discipline, that what you're really talking about is having discipline. Discipline with your finances, discipline with your spending, discipline with your savings. The fact that, the fact that you started so young, but anybody can start at any time to have discipline in what they're doing for their future, for their future. You know, Joel, you mentioned about credit cards. Well, nowadays, people are having credit cards, like you said, 19% interest. A lot of them are 29% interest. And once you get caught up in that kind of debt, with just credit card debt, then it doesn't take long before the credit card is ruling your finances, just trying to keep up with the payments on your credit card, paying down the credit card, paying off the interest, and that's just one thing. Then, of course, if you're always driving a flashy car, my truck is now 5 years old, and I have no plans on buying another truck. I drive them until the wheels fall off, and then I buy a new one. But, my accountant said to me, he says, you should buy a new truck. You know, you need the deductions, but I don't need those kind of expenses. So really, in terms of understanding where you are financially and what you actually have to spend and what you have to save for your future, saving 10% of your income. Joel was, you know, he was putting that income away. He put it into that $100 a week or $140 a week that he saved when he was just young. And this is 14 years ago when he started with the business. And of course, he saves a lot more now. Putting that money into an RRSP so it grows tax-free and multiple the interest, the compounding interest, and of course into that, he said, TFSA, a tax-free savings account, where that it's great vehicles to plan for your future. But what I particularly liked about what Joel talked about and how he talked about was having the discipline to save, but also the discipline to manage his business in terms, and not everybody, I don't use credit cards for my expenses. I have my own filing system, and it's a very simple filing system, and I get lectures on it every year for my wife, but I'm sitting there adding up my receipts. But I have two small files that I keep in my middle panel in my truck, two files. And one file is for fuel. Every month it has little slots that every receipt I get for fuel, I put in that file, and on the top of that receipt, I write my kilometers down. So, and I use my truck pretty well exclusively for work, so it's a work truck. And then month by month, all those receipts grow. And then, of course, I have another file that I use for all my other receipts. Promotion, anytime I'm going out for lunch with somebody, or working, parking expenses, business expenses, vehicle expenses, everything else goes in that separate file. But at the end of the year, I'm not having to have a whole box of cluttered up, squished up receipts to have to unfold them and everything, but it's all separated for me, and it's all separated month by month. I just add them up, hand them over to my wife, she puts it on the spreadsheet, we send it to the accountant, and Bob's your uncle. So it's all about having the discipline to keep track of, keep good records in terms of what you're spending, what your expenses are, and what your savings. Putting some money away every month to not get caught up into a lifetime of robbing Peter to pay Paul. So saving 10% of your income right up front is a great start. Focus on your savings. Focus on your goals. What are your goals? So this is something that we should be doing right now, is taking the time of understanding, like Joel said, Jack said, where you are. What are your monthly expenses? Those are your basic minimum expenses. And then all your other expenses, your goals, things you want to do, your savings, everything else doesn't come out of your immediate, that's not immediate expenses. It's your goals that you want to achieve. And then that's where you have to step out of your comfort zone, know exactly where you want to go with your expenses, how much you want to save, what you're saving for, whether it's housing, whether it's a car, whether it's doing something for your family, for your children. And that comes out of your other income. Your savings is coming out of your renewals, but your basic income is coming out of your upfront income. So again, managing your time, managing your money, managing your future. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about. Before I go there, I'd like Kristen. If you could take some time and comment on sound financial planning for your future and what you've done and how you plan for your future.
Can you hear me, John?
I hear you fine.
Well, I think one of the biggest things that I am hearing and I agree with is the discipline. The discipline. First of all, the discipline to know, you know, going through the exercises Jack talked about, what can work a little bit longer in a day, we can work an extra day on the weekend, we can put in the necessary effort. That's within our control, it's our choices. Having a discipline to manage your life properly is what it takes. We all have responsibilities and we all have life that is going to throw, you know, certain degrees of curveballs. Some of them are easier managed than others, but we're all going to get different adversities that are thrown in the way. And how we manage those and how disciplined we are to stay on track with what we know needs to be done in terms of activity. Because our business is really activity-based. It's about seeing people. And if you see enough people, you will achieve what you need to achieve. As you stay disciplined on that, you know, on the activity level, your skills go up. So you get better at the job the more that you do the job. That makes sense. But if you're consistently doing more and you're consistently putting in the right activities, you figure out the proper process that much quicker. And when you have the discipline to do that, you start to see, you know, 1 month of being disciplined and working, you know, hard at the business, I've seen how much it can change the results in your bank account. You know, you just one month of going and putting in solid effort, being disciplined, doing the work, and you will see that you have more choice. That's what money is it just gives you more choice. And one of those choices is to plan for the future. We all need to, you know, meet today's requirements, and we need to make sure that we're living today. But we're in a business that is about the long term. We are in a business where just by naturally doing what we do, we will be in a better position next year, the year after, 5, 10 years. But how much of a better position do you want to be in? So one thing that's important to have is, you know, knowing what your monthly budget is, staying through that monthly budget. And, you know, I'm very fortunate because I have a partner in my life who is exceptional at this kind of stuff. You know, we all have our own strengths and weaknesses. I am very, very good at staying disciplined on the activities and going and doing what needs to be done. And my wife, Jenna, is incredible at managing our finances. She's really good at making sure, you know, we set goals together, and then she tracks them, and we have our spreadsheets, and she's great at doing that. But we talk a lot about our future. You know, I think planning for the future, you have to have discussions. You know, the person that you're doing this life with, if you're fortunate enough to have somebody there, or maybe it's a close friend, but talk about what you want long term. Dream. I think it's really important to talk about what your life is going to look like. What choices do you want to have? You know, we want to buy a commercial building and have a rental to professionals. And we have a timeline for that. We have other goals in our life. What we want to do with our renewal income. Our renewal income, in our minds, is a way to take chances and invest in other businesses and other opportunities, because, hey, if it doesn't work out, well, our bills at home are okay, our future is okay, and, you know, it was a risk that we were able to make, and a risk we were able to take because of the discipline we had leading up to it. But talking about your future with your partner and getting excited about it, you know, thinking about the kitchen that you, your dream kitchen or your dream backyard or the vacations that you want to take, the time off that you want to have. When you really let yourself daydream about the future and what that, like, that perfect future looks like, it puts on you a certain proper amount of pressure in the moment to go and make it happen. You feel the pull towards the life that you want to live. And if you have a plan to get there, then you will get there. Being disciplined is what's going to cause you to, you know, do the work. Being disciplined is going to cause you to think about the future and start putting, you know, a plan in place. But what do you want to work towards? What is it that is so meaningful to you that it's going to get you excited to be disciplined, to do the little things in the moment? So for me and in my life, it was very much thinking about what kind of life I wanted to live. calculating what kind of income I needed to have to live that kind of life, and then making choices in the moment that were in line with that future. Having somebody who's very organized makes a big difference when it comes to this. And so if you yourself aren't, try to find resources that will help you in that department, because it goes a long way. You know, you listen to Joel talk about how organized he is, you know, every week. And it's the same in our household. We have percentages. X amount of percentage goes to this. X amount percent goes to this. X amount percent goes to housing, goes to vehicles, goes to future, goes to taxes, goes to savings. And so when a pay comes in, we know exactly what percentage of that pay is going where. And that means that we're making decisions on a weekly basis that influence our 5 and 10 year goals. So again, the basis of it all is the discipline. The discipline to know what you need to make, going out and doing the work. And when you do so, even in a month's time, you'll be surprised at where you're at. And it feels good to be in a position where you have more than is what is needed, and you can start to think about the long term. So those are my thoughts, John. I'll send it back to you.
Well, exceptional thoughts. Well, you talked about, you know, planning your future with your partner, the discipline to work, but also the discipline to save, and knowing where you're going, you know, knowing what you want to do with your life, the specifics, and also knowing what kind of income you wanted for that kind of life. I like what you said about that, you know, planning for buying a commercial building for another stream of income, and you're able to do that because of the discipline that you have now. And, you know, knowing the percentages, I also like that, knowing the percentage of what percentage has to go here, what percentage has to go there, what percentage has to go to your specific plans on a weekly basis or a monthly basis as the income comes in. In our business, it's a weekly basis, but, you know, great thoughts, and it shows the discipline that you have and that both you and Jenna have in terms of planning for your future, because if you don't plan now, then it's going to get very difficult for the future. Now, I'd like to go to Ruth. Ruth, you know, you've been listening to this conversation in terms of setting goals, and breaking down the goals, and savings, and credit cards, and, you know, abusing credit cards, and using them wisely to keep records. I'd like your input on what we've been talking about today and how this affects your future plan.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, the thing about having a goal, like you said, is, or the thing about a goal is that you've got to have one. But what we're talking here, and I think this is, I can't remember that we've had a meeting like this before, where we're talking about some of the essentials that go along with successful financial planning that most people don't get into the nitty gritty. It stays on the surface. These are actual tools that you can use to have a tax-free savings account, to have money set aside for your RSP, to get that money out of your account so that you don't see it, so that you are not tempted to spend it. The huge power of compounding, and the fact that as you put that money away and don't touch it, just like Joel was talking about there when he started, and he started to put $100 into this account and he never ever touches it. It's something that will compound and compound and compound, and if you do that, it grows so exponentially. And so the best thing we can all do is take some of these ideas and, like Christian said, sit down and have a conversation with somebody, whether that's somebody that is your spouse or somebody that your future is also important to them, and their future is important to you, and put a plan together, because without a plan, any old direction works. And sometimes any old direction leaves us floundering around, getting nowhere. And so if we know we have to go from A to B, then if we take some of the tools that we're talking about using here to help us, then we can sit down and we can say, working backwards, you know, you're starting out as a brand new agent, and you say, well, realistically, what do I want to earn and what is possible for me to attain in my first year working with this company? And, you know, we've got some very good plans already put together to show people financially what is possible to be attaining for an income. And so if you want to stand out from the crowd, all you have to do is double that effort, or not necessarily double that effort, go from 13 to 21 presentations in a week, like our example show. Anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure it's coming in a future meeting. the difference between 13 to 21 makes a huge difference in income long term. And when you talk about putting money in an RSP or putting money away and helping, having it compound, that's exactly what our residual income is. And so if you start and you say, well, my residual income is something for my future, you can easily take the discipline to put that aside and have it have that compound growth. And you can take your extra effort from that 13 to the 21 and do it a whole lot quicker, because that's what compounding does. It just helps you get everywhere quicker. And so the main thing is to take the time and set some plans. There are excellent programs available through the internet that if you want to have a brainstorming session or sit down and take an hour and say, this hour I am going to look at what this next year is going to look like, and it's going to be devoted to that, you and other person or other people that you want to be working with. And then pull out all those choppers and just imagine what it could be, and write down everything that you have that's coming into your mind, because if it's coming into your mind, it must be something that is there for a reason. You take those things then and prioritize. You might look at a list of 10 things and say, well, do I really want that Rolls Royce? Well, no, I really don't. That was just something I said. So you put it on a lower priority and go after, oh, yes, do I want to own a house in 5 years? Yes, I want to own a house in 5 years. So in order to do that, how much money do I have to save and put away? So you can do these things and talk to anybody in our company about what you've written afterwards, and you can maybe get some clarity into some of the things that are coming up as stumbling blocks. But the important thing is to communicate and talk and go to the people that you feel are going to help you the most that way, and put the plan to action. And so the best thing we can do is, it is the end of December, a new year is coming. Not only is a new year coming, a new opportunity is really unfolding before us, and it's so exciting to be starting to get there. And that bright future is something that you can get excited about. And that savings, that home that you want to own, that whatever it is, lifestyle that you want to attain, is all available if you just trust the company, trust the system, take the time, make the plans, put the plans into action, and execute them. So I'll pass back to you.
Thanks, Ruth, and excellent, excellent comments. Because again, it's all about planning, putting plans into place, and having discipline to not only save, discipline to go to work, and put everything in place for your future. So, and part of that is having multiple streams of income. And that's where our way of doing business and our compensation
builds so much for our future because it builds residual income. So Joel is going to take a few minutes here and go through some income charts. Ruth had mentioned the difference between doing 13 presentations a week and 21 presentations a week. So we have two charts that Joel's going to go through and just explain the difference between doing 15, we use 15 as the example, and 21 presentations, and what it means for your income and what it means for building renewals for your future, which is all part of sound financial planning.
Can you see this?
Here we go.
Okay. So this is renewals based on 15 presentations a week. Law of average is 1 out of 6. It averages out to be 2 pieces of business every week, which is at roughly about $1,000 in premium. That's 2,000 in premium every week in business. And that means you're doing roughly about $100,000 in business each year. Make $42,000 in income on that. I'm going to just be quick because we have very little time here, but on this chart, then I'm going to go to the other chart. If you look at it, first year you have 0 renewals. The second year you have 5% renewals because you didn't hit your bonus. 4,500 renewals. After 10 years, we know a certain percentage of business will drop off. So you're left with, it's roughly about 80%. So you're left, in this example, 810,000. At 5% renewals, your renewals are $40,000. $40,500. So let's move to the 10%. So remember that $40,000. So in this example, you're doing 21 presentations. Same law of averages. You never get better than the 1 of 6. That's 3 pieces of business average per week, which works out to be $3,000 in premium per week. Now, our piece of business actually are a little higher than that on average now, but let's say you never did more than that. You just did the basic minimum. That's $150,000 in premium every single year of business. Now, because you've hit your bonus, you're getting 10% of the
income. Hang on, Joel. So that means the first year, your earnings are $63,750. That's without earnings. So you went from $42,000 earnings to $63,750 between the number of presentations you make. So that's the baseline. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's correct. Sorry. And I was more focusing on that, just the renewals portion of it. Sorry. Very valid point. So now you're making 50% more income. But let's start looking at this. Your renewals go from after the 10-year mark. Remember in the previous chart, if you did the 100,000, your income your renewals were $40,000 per year. Moving from that 15 presentations to the 21 presentations, and just doing like one extra piece of business every week, puts you in the 150,000 mark. You did 50% more business, 100,000 to 150. 50% more business. Your renewals down here. If I can mark it right down here, those, how many times that? 3 times the renewals. So you did 50% more business, and that's a 300% increase on your renewals. That 5% bonus is huge. We were talking about this on our Monday London team meeting, and if you do, one of the worst things you can ever do is miss your quarter and then have a boom or a quarter. It's always good to have a boom or a quarter, but sucks to miss your 5%. I did that once. I think I did, in 8 weeks, I did $56,000 in business. So well over my quarter, but the previous quarter, I missed it by $500. So that $56,000 in business, okay, yeah, I made extra commission, of course. So that $56,000 in business was the equivalent of doing only $28,000 at 10% renewals. So I worked twice as hard for half the results. if I had worked just a little bit harder, done an extra couple presentations the previous quarter, and written ethics. So it's absolutely massive. So again, just remember that. Hitting that quarter, don't slack on that. That extra 50% business works out to be 300% increase in your renewals. It takes you from a $40,000 passive income to a six-figure passive income. So I'll throw it back to you, John.
Well, thanks, Joel. Great comments. So I'd like to go to Adam. You totally can take that down. Go to Adam. And Adam, I'd like to just have your view on what we've been talking about today. I see you there. Oh. Maybe Adam is, we're having connection problems with Adam. So
can you hear me, Joe?
There you are.
There I am. Sorry about that. No, it's a wonderfully intelligent conversation today. And, you know, what everybody's talking about is we work really, really, really hard. We want to maximize this opportunity. Potential. And this opportunity's potential can be measured in a few different ways. And at the end of the day, we talk, you know, often about what you become during the process. And we've all heard stats. We've all heard the people that, you know, that win the lottery end up going broke inside 5 years. You know, money doesn't buy happiness. There's the cliches that exist out there because when someone is inexperienced with how to handle money, you can have your priorities. They might seem right in real time, but they things get confusing. So, you know, what is consistent amongst what everybody said so far is that there needs to be a consistent effort, an energy, a concerted effort towards thinking about what comes down the road, what the future. Okay? And so often often the decisions that we make that we regret are decisions that we made in that are primarily based around instant gratification. Okay, like this is this thing that we're constantly battling as mature grown adults, is the battle between instant gratification and, you know, forfeiting that and thinking in terms of long term and thinking in terms of what you want for the future. And that forfeiting of that instant gratification is actually a really, it's a fundamental discipline that ensures prosperity in all faculties of our life, in all beings, all faculties of our being. So it's not just financially where we benefit from the considering of what comes down the road. It's in our relationships, it's in our love life, it's in our, you know, our career path. How do you measure it? Well, we have this strange ability to, you know, with our renewals, we have this strange ability to have that as a constant focal point. Most people don't. Most people, you know, nip away and they tuck away a little bit here and there. We are blessed where if we want a raise, we can go give ourselves a raise. We can work a Saturday for the next 3 months, and you will give yourself a raise. These things need to be present in mind, and that's why we talk about goals so often, is that what goals do is they help you build a relationship with the philosophy that you need in order to succeed. And what you become when you build a discipline within those philosophies is you become smart with money. Whatever you do habitually, eventually you start getting the credit for. And Joel says, "Oh, wasn't that great of an investment?" Well, no, but the discipline that was built then ensured that any investment would be a good investment. It certainly is better than, you know, wanting this or that fresh pair of sneakers or whatever the heck it is that people spend their money on. You know, we live in a world right now where there are some uncertainties. Costs of things are going up. Preparing for these kinds of things and you know, thinking about the fables with the ants and the grasshoppers and what you do now carries a weight in terms of what you want for the future. inside your mind. So the voices and the choices that you make and the voices that you hear in your mind are constantly, you know, validating, constantly reaffirming that idea where it's like, do you need this? Put it through a filter. Just because you can afford it doesn't mean that you need that. Just because you need, you know, you want it doesn't mean that you need it. You have to build a relationship with the, you know, the person in the mirror and your family or whoever it is, where, you know, things need to be prioritized. Now, what I do think we are blessed in the sense that we get a first front row seat to what hard work looks like. Okay, we, you know, everybody on the call here today genuinely respects our target market. And it's because in the middle of a February morning when we're out talking to somebody, you can't help but have that feeling in the blistering, well, at least I'm not doing that. And the reality of it is that, you know, I tip my hat to farmers or fishermen or, you know, contractors, these kinds of people that are out there, self-employed, driven, motivated, hungry. They're the people that are pushing forward. They're the people that are succeeding in life. They're the people that are, you know, building something. These are all ideas that are central to whomever it is that is in the entrepreneurial spirit. And you have to have a balance of ambition and enthusiasm. You have to balance that with, you know, self-protection. You have to balance that with looking forward into the future. All of these things are better when you have a goal, you have a direction, you are comfortable talking about them, you are comfortable discussing ideas. So the more that you build a relationship with them, the more it becomes second nature in a language that you speak. And when it's a language that you speak and a language that you share, it becomes who you are. When it becomes who you are, well, that discipline is just the proof that that's who you are. So people that have discussed these ideas are often, or today, very likely talking about the thing that made the difference for them. So there is the active process of making good decisions, and then there's the obstacle avoidance. There's the silly nonsense-ness, the little siphons that tap off a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there. You know, if you pulled 100 people across the country today, how many of them are saying, you know, in 2001, they have the cable bill, and then today we got your cable, your internet, your Netflix, your Disney, your Prime, and all the ones I don't know about. Do we need it? Do we need, you know, a lot of the simple luxuries that we think we do? Maybe we don't. So there is the components of this that we need to go through that are the parts of life that cannot coexist with making the smart, disciplined choices that allow us to consider our future in every choice that we make. And we make mistakes, and we have regrets, and we don't want to lose the lesson. So thinking in terms of saving, thinking in terms of investing, thinking in terms of investing in yourself, thinking in terms of renewal and residual income, this is new for most of us, and it doesn't really come with a pamphlet. We want to balance getting excited about what it means, because every single day what we do does carry meaning and it carries weight in terms of what we want down the road. And so we need to make the decisions in real time, and life works much like what Joel just explained with the renewal income, where little bits that are done early on, over time, the magic of compounding really does end up having a staggering impact on what tomorrow looks like. So, I mean, that's what I heard. I hope that added something, John. I'll bump it back to you.
Thanks, Adam. Great comments. And I want to go to Greg to close our meeting.
Yeah, this is definitely a great call and a great time of year to reflect for next year. And, to summarize, and again, just to kind of, if I had to summarize the final thoughts that Adam was talking about, I would say small leaks eventually sink large ships. You just don't see it coming. But eventually, you're going to go, what the heck happened? And, you know, a lot of times when it comes to a budget, and we're talking about budgeting, I always say, you know, when it comes to savings, for an example, I always talk about shifting your mind shift. And what do I mean by that? Do not save what is left after spending, but spend what is left after saving. You pay yourself first all the time. If you had hydro, gas, mortgage, bills, whatever those expenses are, if you had that same discipline, and Christian talked about it, you have to have the discipline to pay yourself first. Then whatever for savings. Then after that, then you can pay your mortgage. You know, if you mortgage is actually an investment too. It's all parallel, but your expenses, utilities, just pay yourself first. And I know if you get into that discipline of doing that, everything else will happen. So your call was exceptional today, John. We're definitely over our time limit. I hope that you got some nuggets today from this call. And let's have a great year next year. We'll have our Friday meeting, of course. And I'm looking forward to our new year. A lot of great things are coming around the corner that we'll be sharing. But anyways, I asked certain people to dial back in because we're going to have another meeting right after this call. So have a great day and thank you.